Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Garage Talk Live. It's Tuesday, May the 26th. Hope everybody had an enjoyable Memorial Day weekend, paying tribute to our fallen heroes and enjoying the cookouts and everything like that, as well as a great weekend of racing. And we'll get to that in just a little while, what happened. But this week coming up, NASCAR moves to the Monster Mile for 3 days of fun and excitement. And joining me to talk about that is Dover track historian George Keller. George, welcome back to Garage Talk Live.
Nice to be back with you, Vince. And I hope you had an enjoyable, restful Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, it was fun. Let's see. I watched the Indy 500 on Sunday. Then I went to the Coke 600. And by the time that was over, the NHRA out of Topeka was playing. So I watched that. So I watched cars all day long.
Well, I did too. And what always happens to me at this age is that I think I saw over 300 laps of the Coke 600. But then I was lucky enough to, when I woke up in the chair, to find out who had actually won it.
I've done that a few times on some late races myself. It's just like, I'm always have to wake up. You want to see the last 10 laps? Thank God for printed results that I could use on the show.
Absolutely, buddy.
But this weekend is the weekend that I miss the most. Coming up is the fun weekend at the Monster Mile. And the one thing I miss about moving down here is coming down to Dover to see everybody and watch some great racing at the track. Seems like you got some fun stuff going to go on this year.
Oh, yeah. It's always different here at the Monster Mile. We're looking forward to the Camping World Trucks, the Xfinity Series, of course, the Sprint Cup Cars Sunday.
And I guess the weather's the weather in June. Well, actually, the late May, because it depends on when Memorial Day falls. They're always the following weekend. The one thing I think they did good for Dover that we'll talk about when it comes around in October is they moved you guys to the third race in the Chase, and that race has some meaning to the Chasers. If you're not in the top 12, you're gone. You're eliminated. That's the first elimination race in the Chase, so there's a lot of excitement that brings.
Yes, it is. It's been a great uplift for us. We're looking forward to it this fall.
Well, being that you get all three major series coming this weekend, of course, I'm sure everybody's heading on down there. Some fun activities going on as well.
We've got our fan zone, and it's going to be loaded with excitement. There's going to be Monster Energy Freestyle MX.com tour. There's several different times that can be viewed. There's a Camping World Truck autograph session Friday afternoon before the race. You got to be one of the first 150 fans, however.
You'll
be given a wristband, and you'll go from there. It'll be in front of the Lucas Oil display. They'll start lining them up at noon.
It won't take long to line up 150 fans. There's probably people that will probably be hovering around that area for that moment.
We'd like to be able to do it with more, but it just doesn't work in the time frame that we have to do this.
Yeah, because those guys are out there. They come in, what, Thursday night, the truck guys, and they're out on the track and
they'll be practicing Thursday afternoon, and then they'll be qualifying and getting ready for their race that goes green at 5:30 p.m.
That's the one thing about the truck series race. It brings the excitement early to the track. And then, of course, Saturday's race, the Xfinity, which used to be Nationwide, which used to be Busch. And I think hopefully it'll stay stable for a few years.
We certainly hope it does. Having Xfinity aboard is a big lift.
So, anything good? Who's going to be performing the national anthem for the Yokos? You always bring in some celebrity.
Well, we have Megan Ruger. She's going to be putting on a concert. on Saturday from 9:30 a.m. to 1. She's been on the popular TV show The Voice, and just recently co-wrote a track with Jeff McCool.
Yeah, I watched The Voice. I'm trying to figure out which season she was on.
Well, I'd help you, Vince, but that doesn't correspond with Fox News and Fox Sports One and the Weather Channel.
But The Voice season's over, so it doesn't matter anyway. So that's good to have good talent to come into Dover and give a concert, then come back and sing the anthem on Sunday. So, and then there's another thing that's coming up in a couple of weeks at Dover is the Firefly Festival.
Firefly is drawing national and international attention. We already know we're going to have more than 90,000.
Wow.
For the fourth annual Firefly.
And they have that at the track?
That's up from 20,000 at the first one.
That's a pretty good increase. And then you have the Big Barrel Country Festival right after that.
I'm told that the first day of the ticket sales for that exceeded Firefly's first day. So we're looking forward to a long-term deal there.
Now, who thinks up these things to bring to the track? Is it Gary or you or...
No, I wish I could take claim for that, but it would be between Gary and others and our new track president, Mr. Michael Tatoyan.
How's he been as far as joining the team over there at Dover?
We all think the world of him. He's good to us. You gotta like somebody that's good to you, right, Vince?
That's for sure.
It's a pleasure to be around.
That's good. And it's always good to have some fresh ideas come in as well. So
he's very very diversified in the sporting world. So I know that. How did Firefly actually come here? I forget how many states they visited and how many different venues they visited, but then they chose us.
Oh, you figure they perform at the track, right?
No, the Firefly?
Yeah.
It's actually out in what our RV parking.
Ah, I was going to say, because you figure you have all that seating at the track, so if you get 90,000
people. Their organizers were, of course, offered that, but they like the rural setting. They feel it enhances the people that comes experience. So hence the woodlands of Dover International Speedway. There's about 400 acres carved out in there, preserved in its natural setting for the Firefly stages and everything that goes with it. It's just unbelievable.
That's for a pretty busy couple of weeks, figuring between the race and this weekend, you get a couple of weekends off, then you have that. And then right after that, you have the country one.
They have to turn it around in like overnight for the Big Barrel.
Yeah, I wonder now, are they having the Big Barrel in the same venue as the Firefly?
Pretty much the same venue. It'll be modified somewhat, but it's pretty much going to be the same place.
That's pretty interesting.
This should be a destination for anybody that's a country western music fan. I believe we've got all the big names coming, Vince.
That's pretty good. I'm going to have to get back up there one of these days. So.
You know the door is wide open for your visit.
Good to know. Being down here in the mountains looks nice, but just missed that weekend commute I used to take every race weekend going from home to the track every day.
Yeah, it's not the same without you here.
I know. Who's got to pest all the drivers, all the girl drivers in this?
That's why I said it's not the same without you here.
So, but plus, I'm the only one that seems to ask questions to the drivers about the speedway. It seems like all the other guys ask their own regular media stuff. So,
right.
But to get you into those press conferences and ask some questions for Gary, so you get something to put on the tape.
And Saturday night, there's going to be, for NASCAR weekend, there's going to be fireworks out in the RV lots. I mean, the kind we light, not the usual kind.
that ought to be pretty good. Keep the fans in the seats a little longer. And
Almost Easy will they'll put on a performance in on the Victory Plaza stage. I believe that's Saturday evening, 4:30 to 8:30. So we've got a lot of things for folks to do other than just the regular racing.
I know you have all the interactive stuff out in the fan zone. I think the sprint display will be there. Of course, Miss Sprint Cup is actually, believe it or not, Miss Sprint Cup Juliana is from Haddon Township, New Jersey. So that's like your home track.
How about that? Yeah. Yeah.
I've had her on, and of course, she replaced one of the other ones. I think I've had every Miss Sprint Cup on the show that's been in the organization, and up to see what happens in a couple of years when Sprint leaves and whoever they get that's new that's coming on. So there'll be a new championship trophy. But I'll tell you, at least Dover now has an iconic trophy with the Miles the Monster holding the winning car up.
Yeah, it seems like I deal with that iconic trophy, Vince, every year in one way or another. This year they came in with all the October plaques on them. And that presents a little bit of a unique challenge, how to get the plaques off without bending them. Well, we got lucky and we were successful.
But
I remember one year the trophy came in and the car would not fit in his hand. So I brought every chisel I've ever owned from home, and I was almost afraid to start because I didn't know if he was hollow in the fingers or not. Well, I got lucky again. I was able to shave him down enough so the car would go in his hand.
Wow. So the actual trophy is...
Yeah.
They made a concrete... I guess they made a concrete or some sort of...
It's a resin material to look like the concrete. And they come from all the way from Oklahoma City.
Wow.
And of course, we've had a couple catastrophes, too. You open up the box and poor old Monster's foot was off one. So you'd be surprised what you can do with Gorilla Glue, foam rubber.
And a Dremel tool.
Right, a Dremel tool and a silver Sharpie. One year I opened up the race trophy and Miles had lost his right arm in the shipping.
That's the one he has up in the air holding the car.
That's the one. That's the main one. Well, that was actually the first one I saved. And we certainly don't give it out. We have it for display purposes here at the track. I put on a white smock. They filmed it and they called it George's Surgery.
You're the trophy doctor.
I understand we have something new coming this year. I believe it's Sunday morning. The Smithfield Whole Hog Challenge.
Uh-oh. This sounds exciting.
8 contestants will be randomly drawn and notified Saturday evening. Richard Petty and the driver of the number 43 Ford, Eric Almirola, will serve as judges for the rib-eating contest Sunday morning at 10 a.m. at the Smithfield display in the fan zone. That should be something else.
I'd like to enter that.
No, me too. And that'll be followed up by a free country concert by Jared Neiman.
Well, there's a lot of stuff going on this year.
I remember it was
a couple of years ago you had the pool tournament at the hotel.
that was very popular. We should do it again. I don't know why we aren't. I believe Claire B. Lang will be doing her show Friday night live from the hotel. I haven't heard that she isn't.
Usually
so those are just some of the things we have planned.
usually Claire does her show from the little room next to the stage in the press room.
Yeah, we call that the Claire B's room. We have all these names for all these things so that, you know, if you're a newcomer, you're just lost in this business. If Gary tells me he's put it in Claire B's room and he needs it, then I got to react quickly.
Oh, at least you know where Claire B's room is.
Yes, I do. I'm fortunate. I'm one of the few.
People can still get tickets, I imagine. Go to DoverSpeedway.com. And
DoverSpeedway.com. It's real easy. 1-800-441-RACE. And we have event experience specialists that will be happy to give them all the lowdown on what's available.
And I don't know if people actually still use a phone to buy tickets. I mean, with everything online and digital these days, it's like...
Yeah, people still... I'm old-fashioned. When I'm talking about my Daytona 500 tickets, I want to talk to somebody.
Yeah, that's the way I am, but...
Whether they want to talk to me or not, I want to talk with somebody.
But they have the... it's probably the Dover Speedway have an app. Because that's another thing there.
Yeah, well, I know we have apps.
This way people download them onto their smartphones and they can hit that and go boing, 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 and next thing you know.
We're pretty much set up that way.
Yeah, it's amazing how things have transformed from the early days of the race at Dover from, what, the 69, I think it was the first one. I know Skip Clayton always talks about it.
Yep, 1969 is the first one. You know, we've had, this will be our 91st big race this weekend. I've had some kind of a part in every single one of them.
So what do they got you doing this week?
Nothing really
contest?
New. nothing new, same old. Pre-race parade, pre-race festivities, victory lane, hot laps for our corporate guests.
And have some... guests at the Monster Mile Club with Danica Patrick, Joey Logano, and I don't know, the thing just scrolled off my computer here. What happens there? Is that for the? Is that in the hotel or is that in the?
Monster Mile Club is in the grandstands.
Okay.
It's an add-on to your ticket. Very popular.
And. I always thought that was Paul. It was a premium function, like the people in the seats that are over the track. That was a big addition that years ago. I remember that when I was there for the opening of it.
Okay. No, it's not up there for sure.
Well, that's
we're going to be making it possible for. More people to win some seat time in the bridge this year. At least coming up for October. All they got to do is go to DoverSpeedway.com and they'll find info about it.
Now that's all that Dover International Speedway introduces Monster Mile Youth Nation.
Oh boy, has that become popular. You know, with NASCAR's emphasis on trying to get younger people involved... We of course have joined up and we're going full force with that.
I think that's one thing they missed and caused a lot of decline in the attendance is they didn't have the younger fan make it easily accessible to the younger fans for a certain period of time. Now they have to bring that back this way they grow the new ones.
We hope so. Because people like me are getting too old to go. They got to fill that seat with something.
They get the kids in racing. They get young drivers coming up that they could root for. And like Chase Elliott, who's the Xfinity champ running around. The Jeff Gordon, who's surprisingly retiring at a young age.
Yeah, I think it's too young myself. But he's apparently had all he wants.
I think he wants to spend some time, and who knows, but he might want to run the Indy 500 there without having to run two races a day.
Right.
Yeah. He's won Daytona. He's won the Brickyard. He's won just about everything. That's the only thing he's left to win.
That would be it. That's the only thing.
Of course, the biggest all-time winner at the Monster, Jimmie Johnson. Nine races.
Got nine of them. And I'd be surprised if the 48 doesn't pull into victory lane Sunday evening.
I know I'm going to pick him for this weekend anyway. I usually would either pick him for the 600 and the Dover. And it's rarely I pick a driver to win 2 weeks in a row. So I bounced him from the 600, but I'm definitely going to pick him for Dover because I think he wins, what, one out of every three shots?
Just about. Just about. Boy, people get mad at me when they ask me who's going to win. I automatically say Jimmie Johnson.
Yeah, I think he won this race last year.
Yes, he did. Gordon won it in the fall.
That's right. So Team Hendrick pretty much has a lot of trophies on that from the Monster. Right? Dale Jr. won the first race back after September 11th. Earlier in that year was Jeff Gordon that won it.
Okay.
But that's when Jr. drove for DEI for his dad.
You're right. And one thing I forgot to mention about that trophy, that Sunday trophy, Vince, weighs 60 pounds.
Yeah, it doesn't look like an easy one. You can see them struggling to hoist that over their head.
I remember one year Mark Martin got it in the air and then realized what he had, and he almost dropped it.
Yeah, they don't have anybody in the back, like, propping it up with a stick or something. You know, they have to sit there. It's like the Stanley Cup. It might even be heavier than the Stanley Cup.
I think the only thing heavier in this, well, the grandfather clock would be heavier, Martinsville.
Yeah, nobody carries
that
around.
And I think the Harley Earl Daytona 500 trophy weighs slightly more than our Monster. But I don't know anything else that's that heavy.
Nah.
I can still pick it up, but I'm not going anywhere with it. I put it right back down.
Back when Dover Motorsports had Nashville Super Speedway, I think that was the trophy to have was the guitar.
That's correct. Yeah, they all wanted that guitar. Even Kyle.
And then he smashed it.
Right. But Sam Bass did well on that. I think Kyle ordered 10 of them then.
Really?
Yeah, I believe that's true.
Wow.
So I'll bet Sam was saying, smash it again.
Yeah.
See, our first time going down there due to the economy was right after Kyle did that. And there's three of us that started going down there right after that. And believe me, we were ready if we were going to try it again.
Yeah, because that's why you guys took over pretty much all the tracks.
Mm-hmm.
Once they started whittling down the staff, because it seems like everybody from Dover had to go work the races.
Well, we really like going down there. The whole thing's just a shame.
Well, wrong time, I guess, to do that. If it was 10 years sooner, or back in the 70s and it had come around then, I think it might have been more. You would have had that.
I think it might have made it.
Yeah.
Well, as you know, in the 90s, the sky was the limit.
Yeah.
1982 to 2000, we added 7,000 to 15,000 seats a year here. And the faster they built them, the faster they sold them.
Yeah, because everybody wanted to come to a race, and it was a fun weekend, and figure was a destination vacation for a lot of people, whether they took their RVs or
however they got here.
How many hotels have they built in the area since it was with the expansion of all that? I mean, I come down 13 off of one there. There's more hotels from there to the track than there's ever been.
You're correct about that. I don't want to exaggerate, but I'll bet at least 10 have been added in here in Dover. And even though the crowds are off, you still can't get a hotel room from Salisbury, Maryland to Philadelphia.
That's why I used to drive every day.
Good move.
It was 70 miles one way from when I lived in Jersey. So I used to drive every day. It was cheaper.
I'm sure it was.
Yeah. I mean, even with the price of gas being up there, I got a place to stay. I would have had to stay somewhere around that area anyway.
Right.
The one thing I regret is not being able to stay at the Dover Downs Hotel on race weekend.
Funny you say that. I run into a lot of people that say the same thing.
Well, back when we built that, my buddy wrote for the Inquirer, Pete Schnetz, he was able to get in there.
I know Pete. I know Pete.
Because John Dunlap, I guess, hooked him up because he was the PR guy at the time.
He hooked everybody up.
They used to have the fun stuff at Sambo's, what, Friday night or Saturday night?
Yep. Yep.
That's another thing I missed because I used to go home.
Well, I think I would have had to stay for that.
That was where everybody went because everybody, the drivers went, the media went, everybody let their hair down and things like that. That's the one thing I never got to do, but, you know.
I think there's still some of that that takes place, but not as big as it was.
Well, didn't the track used to have a get-together there for a select few?
Yes. Yes.
That's back when the economy was better. They had more budget.
That's correct.
But
I'm not sure exactly what we do in that situation right now myself.
But figured at least Dover is one of those tracks that's unique to the circuit to where, you know, you have all the mile and a half that are all the same shape and things, and then you have the other mile tracks which are kind of flat. Dover is one of the only tracks that has banking everywhere, front stretch, back stretch, and the turns, so.
Makes them so fast, for sure. 9 degrees on the straights, they look flat on TV, but they obviously aren't. Turns it into your 9 degrees. Then our turns are 24, the same as Charlotte, Atlanta, and Texas. The drivers tell me. What's that?
I said it looks so much steeper than 24, though.
It does because it's shorter than the other places. Talladega's 33, Daytona's 31, and then it's us. Drivers tell me the sensation of speed they feel here at the Monster Mile is greater than anywhere else they race.
Yeah, I can believe that.
100 average 160 here means they're hitting just under 180 at the end of the straights. Feels faster than 200 at Daytona. Hard for me to believe, but that's what they've told me.
Well, it's because, I mean, they're coming off one corner and getting on up there in the speed, and then you get smacked in with turn one or turn three there. And you know,
they're only on these straightaways about 4 seconds.
Yeah, that's not long.
Oh, no.
And I think in the turns you might be there for 6.
Yeah, you are about, or a little more.
That's a quick track. Now, I've been lucky enough after a race one night to where the guys let me, me and my partner Tammy at the time said, well, if you want to get out of here, come back this way, come through the back entrance to the track, go halfway around and come out by the, you know, where the front gate is, by the start-finish line, and then wind up on the back road.
Right.
I got to feel that in my pickup truck at that angle coming around three and four there.
Well, I'm on the track almost every day.
Yeah. Well, you take the hot lap. So how, what's that like? You take them in the pace car and
I'll take them in the NASCAR pace car. I'll hit close to 90 on the backstretch. That's fast enough.
Yeah.
Street car. I could go faster, but it's not wise.
No, the tires wouldn't handle it. Living down here, we bought tickets to Bristol.
Right.
Because that was on the bucket list. And Dover's Bristol on steroids. So if we got them early enough, and here's an event you all might be able to have. If you buy your tickets early enough, you're welcome to come down and drive around Bristol. They have the pace car out, and they take everybody around. They take, like, groups of 10 out at a time. And
okay.
And then everybody gets back in line and comes through, I guess, till the event's over. But if you got a long enough lot of people, then just take them through the group this way. You don't have too many jammed up. And I tell you, we were hitting like 80 on that, following the pace car.
That's pretty
and
good.
And the tires wanted to push on out to the wall coming through the turns. Because my wife and I
bet they did there. I bet they did for sure.
So I can just imagine what it would be like getting up more speed at Dover, because you got a little bit longer, you know, you got twice the length. So I think be able to get up a little more speed there. So that might be more fun.
Well, it's a pretty neat experience, to tell you the truth. It's like being in a salad bowl that you're never going to come out of.
Yeah, I could because figure it's one of those things that you have to try. You have to you know, get out on the track, take the tour, and let you scare the bejesus out of the passengers. And
I always tell them I'm not trying to scare you.
The track does that by itself.
It does, in fact. I don't have to try. Instant success.
Then if they like it that much, then they can go to Monster Racing and take the course and drive it themselves in a race car.
That's for sure.
So everything's all fun and excitement this weekend. It's one of those weekends I wish I was there. DoverSpeedway.com or 1-800-441-RACE and get your tickets. Go to the website and you'll be able to find out all the info, places to stay, if there is any room. Julie, booking rooms this time of year is a little tight, but
I won't say it's impossible. They're welcome to try, but I'm not sure they'll have much luck.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean stay home.
Nah. If you're local, you can make the day trip.
Right.
I used to do it three times a weekend.
Sure you did. I knew for a fact you did.
And
when I go to Bristol, I drive from Dover.
Yeah.
I do stay there when I get there, though.
As a matter of fact, I'm about 90 miles north of Bristol. I don't know how you go down to Bristol, but somehow
81.
You wind up on I-81.
Yeah.
And I'm where the if you come to where I-77 and I-81 get a little funky there. And
I know where that is.
Okay, well, when I-77 branches off to go north again, I'm like the third exit down, sitting. Because I'm in a little town called Bastion, between the tunnels. You got to go through a tunnel to get to me, and if you go through the second tunnel, you went too far. You're in West Virginia.
How about that? Oh, you could drive this in one day.
Oh, easy.
Yeah.
It takes me 8 hours to get to Jersey.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. We take the back way up. We come up 81 and hit the PA turnpike, come across, and then come back down into Jersey that way.
I see what you do. I follow.
Don't like
you.
To deal with. Don't like to deal with the loop-de-loops in Baltimore and D.C.
I don't blame you. Unless you, if you haven't ever done it, you should do it just to enjoy it.
Oh, I've done it a few times. I don't want to do it again.
I understand.
But anyway, that's over the FedEx 400. They're bringing back the decal, the Autism Speaks decal that the cars are going to have on there. Got that info yesterday.
FedEx 400 benefiting Autism Speaks.
I remember when they introduced that with Jamie McMurray as the spokesperson.
Mm-hmm.
That was what, about 2007 or so. Maybe 2008.
I can't remember exactly sitting here.
Me either. That's why I'm just but that's
well, it's a
part.
Long-term relationship, and we hope to continue it.
It's a worthy cause, and it's a good partnership with you guys, and it's good to have them kind of FedEx and AAA and all that for the chase race. So I can sit here and reminisce all day, George. I don't know about you.
Well, I've enjoyed talking with you, buddy, and hope you'll come up here soon.
Yeah, once I get some more vacation time up, so that's something I have to stock up now. See, before you can just take a day off and on Friday and cover the weekend. This way, it's a little trickier when you're further away. Not used to this.
I understand that, buddy. Well,
all
we'll
right.
Be thinking of you.
And I'm, of course, always thinking about there and always trying to. So if I don't see you guys within the next year or so, I think I'll be able to work that into the schedule.
Well, let's do it. We'll have a grand reunion.
Sounds great. Okay,
right,
George,
buddy.
Have a good one, and thanks for joining me on the air. It's always a pleasure talking to you.
Always a pleasure talking with you, and thanks for having me today.
So have some fun this weekend while you're working. I'll be thinking
about
you. We're
going to try, buddy. That's all part of it. All right, bye-bye.
Take care of that. Bye-bye. We have Dover track historian George Keller. Yeah, it's always one of those places that there's a lot of stuff to do in a very short time at Dover. Well, anyway, we'll be right back after these words.
Cajun's Candle is a family-owned company that makes the finest quality hand-poured candles you'll find anywhere, in many different colors, sizes, and scents. They use only the best wax and scents to ensure your candle performs to its very best, each and every time. Cajun's uses a unique blend of hybrid wax that consists of a 50% soy and a 50% paraffin mixture, enabling the best of both worlds in candle making. The soy base is to ensure a cleaner burn while being environmentally friendly, and the paraffin is used to achieve a great scent throw and the ability to add color nicely, giving those bright, vibrant colors that catch your eyes. Cajun's Candles carries a wide variety of gel candles as well. Need a fundraiser for your school or church? Candles make a great item to use for fundraisers for any type of function you may have. Give Cajun's Candles a call at 610-960-5677 or find them on the web at www.cajunscandles.com. And for all you Facebook users, be sure to like them at Facebook at facebook.com/Cajun's Candle.
And we're back here on Garage Talk Live. I'm Vince, and we're talking racing with Dover with George Keller, the track historian. And, yeah, I can reminisce about that for a while. Figure I covered every race there from 2000 through 2011. But I've watched the changes at the track and the media center and the people coming in and out. I should have applied for a job there. But When there's no racing, there's not much to do except the motorsports show in Oakville, Pennsylvania. But like I said, a busy weekend in racing. Everything was in action. From the Grand Prix at Monaco to the Indy 500 and the Coke 600 NHRA out of Topeka. Turned out to be a busy weekend, a busy Sunday for me anyway. One for the show, I wouldn't be sitting in front of my big screen digital HD TV watching cars do their thing. But as we look down, let's start with the Indy 500. It was actually an exciting race. Started about 12:30. And seems like the leaders all had to, we're only be able to hold a couple laps there. But when all was said and done, the race came down to three drivers. Scotty Dixon, Juan Pablo Montoya, and his teammate Will Power. And those three were battling for the lead, I guess, for the last 75 to 80 laps. So one time Dixon would lead, and he'd lead for a couple laps, and then Will Power would lead, he would lead for a couple laps, and then Montoya would lead, and then they'd shuffle off, they'd come into the pits. Figure Montoya was back in 30th spot and started 15th, wound up having some pit problems, had to get a wing replaced, and managed to stay on the lead lap. And so he was able to work his way back up to the front. And all said and done, he wound up taking home the Board Warner Trophy for his second ever Indy 500 win. Now, of course, this one came with Team Penske. His first one was with Chip Ganassi back in 2000. So it's been about 15 years from winning this one to winning that one. Of course, he had a little stint in NASCAR, running the 42 car there since, I guess, 07 or 08 when he was Rookie of the Year up until last year when he was replaced by Kyle Larson. So he didn't have a chance to compete in the Indy 500 unless he wanted to run double duty. And you can see how exhausting that is from the guys that have run the double duty from, of course, last year Kurt Busch was the one. And before that, Tony Stewart had done it a couple times. And the original guy was John Andretti, and Robbie, and he was the first one to do it. And then Robbie Gordon had done it too. So it takes a lot out of you. I mean, I know these guys love to race and they love to drive anything, but driving 1,100 miles in one day at those speeds, we got to spank you pretty good. Will Power wound up second. Charlie Kimball, who took advantage of Scotty Dixon getting shuffled on the pass by Montoya, wound up in third place. Of course, Kimball and Dixon are teammates as well. And fifth place was Graham Rahal, fiance to Courtney Force of NHRA fame. It was a good run for him as well. He started 17th, so he made up some good ground and came to that. Elio Castro Neves, always a favorite there. He was 7th. J.R. Hildebrand, he took 8th. Joseph Newgarden was 9th. Simone Pagino was 10th. And the ladies in the field, Simona Di Silvestro was 19th. But she was on the lead lap. And Pippa Mann, she was 22nd. Three laps down, I think. Yeah. So there were 6 caution flags for a total of, this should just give you a total here. The race took 3 hours and 5 minutes. and 56 seconds. Average speed was 161.3 miles an hour. Margin of victory was 0.146. Now, that's a close race for an IndyCar. Usually, when they get on the road, which they will be doing this weekend, they'll be pulling a doubleheader at Belle Isle. They'll run the one race Saturday and one race Sunday. And uh, 37 lead changes. That's how competitive the race was this year. They said there were 37 lead changes amongst 10 drivers. So, and six cautions for 47 laps. To clean up some cars there, because there were a couple of three car wrecks that spewed debris all over the track, and they wound up having to clean it. They didn't red flag anything, so everything got to run under yellow. Yellows count. No green, white checker stuff at the end of the race. They would end the race under yellow, which they did last year when Tony Kanaan won it. So they do have the double file restarts, but for some reason they don't bunch them up like NASCAR does. They just, whoever's the leader and whenever they come around to take the green, they just take off. Doesn't matter how far spread apart they are. So next year will be the 100th anniversary. So 100 years of Indianapolis Indy 500 running. If you want to give me a call, if you were at that race and you want to talk about it, the number is 646-649-1899. And then a Coke 600. Carl Edwards gets his first win for Joe Gibbs Racing. Been close a couple times, so everybody got treated to the backflip. Greg Biffle finished second. Dale Jr. was third. The top three guys were playing the fuel mileage game, so they didn't come in the pit late when everybody else did to take on fuel, because they had pitted later than everybody else under a caution. So they were able to fuel up then, and they were going to set to go to distance, which they wound up doing, but Carl Edwards managed to have the lead on that, and Martin Truex, who led most of the race, looked like it was going to be a hell of a day for him. He was pretty much poised to take the win, had to come in for a late splash of gas and a couple of tires, and he wound up finishing fifth behind the guys that stayed out. Kenseth, I think, was the only one who came in the pit with him and was catching Dale Jr. because of the fresher tires, and he'd have to worry about running out of gas, but the race got over. Good day for Kurt Busch, too. He led 118 laps, and he looked like the car to beat early on. I had picked Harvick because he usually does well in the track, and he wound up ninth again. He was running third when he had to come in and pit behind. I think he had to hit second as well by the time he had to pit, because he was running behind Truex, and that's who it looked like it was going to be another top two finish if Harvick could have stayed out there, but he had to come in for fuel, and that's what happened. The race took 4 hours, 3 minutes, and 34 seconds. Used up all the TV time for running the race. The average speed was 147.8 miles an hour, and the margin of victory, 4.78 seconds. There was a gap from Edwards to Biffle, and they were running the same fuel strategy, so they didn't want to run out of gas, and they didn't. There were 22 lead changes amongst 9 drivers. 8 cautions for 39 laps. That's pretty low for a 600-mile race, which is a good thing to see. So now you can add Carl Edwards into the chaser round. He is that's Harvick, Logano Jr., Jimmy Johnson, Keselowski, Kenseth, Kurt Busch, Denny Hamlin, and Carl Edwards are locked in because they have wins. And then Truex, Jamie McMurray, Jeff Gordon, Casey Kane, Ryan Newman, Eric Almirola, and Paul Menard don't have wins, so they round out the top 16 in that order. I wish they would just change the points line up to run between the winners and then the non-winners, but they just have them according to points. I got to sort that out myself. In the Xfinity Series on Saturday, Austin Dillon took home the checkered flag with Denny Hamlin second. Third was Casey Kane. Fourth, Regan Smith. Fifth, Darrell Wallace. Sixth, Daniel Suarez. Seventh, Ty Dillon. Eighth, Chase Elliott. Ninth, Elliott Sadler. And tenth was Ryan Blaney. Chris Buescher leads the points. Ty Dillon is second. Chase Elliott is third. Darrell Wallace is fourth. Regan Smith is fifth. Elliott Sadler, sixth. Brian Scott, seventh. Eighth, Ryan Reed. Ninth, Daniel Suarez. And Brendan Gaughan is tenth. There's only a 4-point gap between Chris Buescher and Ty Dillon. Chase Elliott in third. He's got a little ways up. He's 28 points back. So, but he's been picking away at it. He was a little lower the last time. So another good run for him. And was the points leader, Buescher, wound up 11th. So when you get the points leader behind you, you have a shot at the taking away at it. Anyway, like I said, this weekend we're going to the Monster Mile, and picking is a no-brainer for me. As I was discussing with George, you got to go with Jimmy Johnson. Reason being, he's got 9 wins there, 9 cup wins. That's the most all time. There was 2-way tie for second with Richard Petty and Bobby Allison. So Jimmy Johnson did tie them and pass them. Of course, Johnson getting his 9th win in this race last year after going the first part of the season without one. He came back to win at Dover to get himself into the chase. Now Johnson's got 3 wins. He leads the seeding in the points for Chasers. Go ahead. The ARCA was in Millville, New Jersey, a track that I have never seen. It's a road course. It's New Jersey Motorsports Park. And the only reason why I bring that up is it's a former local area track for me and our guest Sarah Cornett-Ching was out there, and I'm keeping an eye on her career. She wound up finishing ninth. So she's now in seventh in the points. Last time we talked to her, she was ninth in the points. So she's moving up the ladder. So the winner was Kyle Weatherman out of Wentzville, Missouri. Tom Hessert, who is a Cherry Hill native, which isn't far from Millville. That's his home track. He finished second. Josh Williams were third. Grant Enfinger, who won the first two races of the year for ARCA, was fourth. Fifth, Cole Custer. Sixth, Cody Coughlin. Seventh, Austin Wayne Self. Steve Mignonelli out of Waterford, New Jersey. That's a local guy to the track. It was eighth, ninth, Sarah Cornett-Ching, and tenth, Brandon Jones. This is Sarah's second top ten in a row. Now she went from the top 15 to top 10. She's seventh in the points. This girl is getting her done. And she's going to be somebody to watch. Now, if she stays in this series, and not too long, just enough to, when she goes to NASCAR, then she's going to be something. So we'll just have to wait and see how that progresses. But she's got a shot here to do something no other woman driver has yet. Of course, Danica, we'll see what happens with her when her contract runs out. Is she able to get a sponsor? She hasn't really produced anything on the track, and that's kind of sad because she came in with so much high hope. But it wasn't. So if she can get something, and maybe she ought to call the show. Seems to be things that happen. So, Dover this weekend. NHRA, that's right. They were in action as well. Erica Ender Stevens reclaimed her points lead in the pro stock division to win. So she's got three wins in the last couple of weeks. She has won 15 times since her first win a couple of years ago, including a championship. And running underfunded. If anybody there wants to sponsor a race car, I can give you a championship car to put your money on. Go to Pro Stock, contact Ender Stevens people. NHRA will be in the vaunted old Raceway Park in Englishtown, New Jersey. This coming next weekend. They're off this week, so they'll be going there. I'm going to give you a list of the winners. Of course, in Top Fuel, Richie Crampton took the Wally. He wound up beating Larry Dixon in a hard-fought battle. He had to go up against the Sarge. He had to go up against Kyle Wurzel. He was a number two qualifier. And then Spencer Massey in round two. And then Brittany Force in round three. Round four, former champ Larry Dixon. So Crampton's been doing pretty good. We'll have to have him back on the show. Best national speed record for funny car was set this weekend by Brittany Force at 325 miles an hour. Of course, the best ET, you got to go with Fast Jack Beckman, who ran four rounds under 4 seconds. 3.9 with a 3.98 in round one, 3.97 in round two. Oh, he ran a 4.1 in round three, and then in round four, he came back against John Force with a 3.98. The best, like I said, Courtney set the speed record, and the best low ET of the weekend was 3.96 by Chad Head, and that was in qualifying. Because Chad Head didn't make it past the second round and ran 4.0s, ran a 4.0 and a 4.8. Looks at in the pro stock division, Erica Enders beat Greg Anderson with a 6.51. She was the number one qualifier. She got all the bonus points for that and had low ET every round. Take home the Wally. So congratulations, Erica. You always do well. So that's about all we have today. I'm glad you could join me. I'm Vince Bonfigli. Have a good afternoon and good racing. We'll see you all next week.